So, Adam, as George just said, golf was one of the first things to come back. We saw what happened on the tour. There've been several positive tests for COVID, and that's a storyline that's been discussed. But a storyline that I want to get into before we talk Bryson DeChambeau and his rippling muscles, I think they're muscles, and the protein shake and bulking up by 40 pounds, and the discussion being, has golf changed? There was a guy that did sort of the same thing many years ago. Not too long ago, but we still remember it. Tiger Woods kind of went through the same thing where he changed his physique to change the type of game that he played. When will Tiger Woods be back?
Yeah, it's kind of the million-dollar question right now, because we've kind of entered into this new normal as it relates to the PGA Tour schedule. You know, we know what tournaments are going to be happening. We've already had four. We've got another one this week. I think from everything that people have kind of been anticipating, we'll probably see him next week at the Memorial. I think there was probably some hesitation on a number of the guys' part wondering about next week, because there were supposed to be fans next week at the Memorial. They were supposed to let 8,000 people through the door next week. And of course, if Tiger Woods was to actually play with fans in attendance, you've got to think that at least 90% of them, if not all of them, would have wanted to follow Tiger Woods. And that would have been horrific, optics-wise, health-wise, you name it. So the fact that there's now not going to be any fans at the Memorial next week kind of makes it a little bit more likely that we'll see Tiger Woods tee it up at a place where he's won a handful of times. So we'll find out for sure tomorrow. That's when the deadline is for him to sign up. But from everything I've heard and kind of seen up to this point, it does appear as if he'll play next week. And it kind of made a lot of sense. If that was going to be a tournament on the schedule that you would circle, that you'd say, hey, you know, Tiger is probably going to come back this week, then that's the one that a lot of people pegged as the one that he's going to make his return at.
Adam, we know that Joey kind of alluded to it there, but Bryson DeChambeau has been the story of the comeback in this pandemic. And Brooks Koepka tweeted a gif of a Kenny Powers getting angry at being accused of using steroids. That's all he tweeted. And I think we all know what he was meaning when he's had kind of a couple run-ins with Bryson DeChambeau in the past. Do people in and around the tour actually think Bryson DeChambeau is juicing at this point?
I mean, it's one of those things where you take a look at him and you think, well, maybe, but I don't believe that anyone is actually thinking that way. It's kind of fascinating that we've got these two guys who are in the top 10 players in the world who are, for lack of a better description, kind of beefing right now. And, you know, at one point Bryson said, you know, hey, Brooks, like, you don't have abs, like, I have abs. And Brooks kind of came back and said, no worries, I'm happy with my four pack. And it was his four major championship trophies. And now, you know, Brooks has come out with this other photo that is kind of insinuating that Bryson has used steroids to try to get a little bit bigger. Now, I don't believe in you know, the guys who I've talked to, I don't think that this is a very common assumption, but it is incredibly fascinating to see this transformation. And I think that given the fact that there hasn't been any other sports really played over certainly the last month, and definitely not over the last three months or so, you know, Bryson DeChambeau's transformation has kind of transcended the world of golf, and he's become, you know, arguably the most talked about athlete period on the planet. And we knew people were going to kind of go up or go down during this time. You know, they're professional athletes. They're trying to optimize their bodies, but to see how much he's transformed, but also now walk the walk as well, four top 10 finishes, including a victory last week. It's just been incredibly impressive. And you know, okay, fine. Maybe you have a thought in your head that he was enhancing his body with some other substances. But, I mean, he's come out and talked about his diet and his exercise. He's posted videos. And I think, you know, the common thought amongst the guys out there is that, you know, he wasn't doing anything illicit. More than anything, he was doing something totally different. And quite frankly, the results on the golf course kind of speak for themselves. They've worked so far.
Adam Stanley is our guest from the Globe and Mail and Sportsnet.ca. 718, it's Vendetta and Russick here on leadoff. And look, I have to say that I've become a lot more interested in golf for a couple of reasons here, Adam. And the first is that we've had a dearth of sports, of live sports, and golf was really the first thing that came back. But I have to be honest with you. The Bryson DeChambeau thing in terms of, and the trash talking that's going on where golf is turning a little bit into UFC or WWE where there's heels and good guys, and it's become interesting. And that's what Tiger Woods was able to do for the sport of golf. He made golf interesting. He looked different. He played differently. He was cocky. He was brash. And I think that's what golf needs. And I think this Bryson DeChambeau storyline can help carry the sport. And the ratings have been great for the matches that we've seen in the last several weeks. Of course, you know, we had Detroit this past weekend, and then coming up, we have the Workday Charity Open. Justin Thomas is the favorite at 11-1. But we've seen some decent performances from Canadians. Adam Hadwin's at 40-1. Corey Connors is at 66-1 here. Mackenzie Hughes at 125-1, and then Nick Taylor and David Hearn. But I have to ask you about Hadwin and Connors and Hughes, all of whom have fared fairly well early on in the tour.
Yeah, I mean, it's all well and good that, you know, with the Canadian radio station, and I'm a Canadian writer, and went, well, we should probably talk about the Canadians. But the fact of the matter is, the Canadians every single week have a chance to win on the PGA Tour. And I think that really speaks to just kind of this moment in time as it relates to Canadian golf. And, you know, Canadian sports fans listening, pay attention to how good our countrymen and women. I mean, this is not even to say about Brooke Henderson, who hasn't teed it up in months on the LPGA side of things and everything she's doing. But the Canadian men are having a real golden moment as it relates to performance on the PGA Tour. Like you said, Corey Connors came right out of the gate, played very, very well the first couple of weeks back after the extended COVID-19 break. Mackenzie Hughes a couple of weeks ago was in, you know, the final group on Sunday, finished top three. He took a week off last week, so he'll be raring to go again. Adam Hadwin, it was his turn last week to have a great finish, went eagle birdie on Sunday to finish in the top five there, his best finish since October. And then we haven't even really talked about Nick Taylor. And Nick Taylor's the guy who actually won already this year. He won in February, which feels like forever ago, but he's won his second tournament on the PGA Tour. He did that earlier on this season, and now he's back in action after taking a bit of an extended break. After the break, he was back home with his wife and son in British Columbia the last month. So he decided to stay back in Canada, and now he's back playing again this week in his first tournament since the COVID-19 break. So we're talking about a handful of guys who are proven winners on the PGA Tour, proven that they've played well after the extended break, and now, you know, given everything that's been going on, have a real shot week in and week out to win a golf tournament.
Real quickly here before we get to George and final question before we let you go, but real quick, how much of this is the Mike Weir effect? When you look at we've talked about the Carter effect and what Vince meant to basketball in this country and how many young people started playing basketball because of Vince Carter and the Raptors and became Raptor fans. But Mike Weir doesn't really get a lot of credit for creating a Canadian golf identity, but it looks like he had a big impact.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the Tiger Woods and Mike Weir effect is 1 and 1A. You ask any of those guys that I mentioned before and any of the guys that you mentioned a couple minutes ago, they will all say that Tiger Woods was the guy, but Mike Weir winning the Masters, Mike Weir doing his thing, Mike Weir being, you know, 5'9" from a little town, southwestern Ontario, getting the number three in the world, you know, Mike Weir was it. He was the guy that inspired all of these guys to want to take their games to the next level, because for the most part, they were, you know, young teenagers or kind of just starting to get those competitive juices really flowing. And then all of a sudden, Mike Weir wins the Masters, and that tipped them over the edge.
Adam, when it just comes to the amount of low scoring we've seen since the PGA Tour has come back, the average winning score went from 16 under to about 19 under. And obviously, these courses are being played at a time where they're not usually played. It's usually in the spring and not in the summer. But do you attribute the time of year we're playing at these courses like Colonial, like at Hilton Head, Or is it the fact that the fans aren't there and these players are just more focused on their golf? Or is it a combination of both?
I'd say it's a combination of both, but I would lean more towards the weather side of things and the adjusted timelines. I think take the RBC Heritage, for example. It's kind of the gold standard as it relates to, you know, a tournament that was supposed to be played in April, a little bit on the colder side. Things are ripping a little bit quicker. Next thing you know, it's been bumped till June. It's been much warmer. Things are a little bit shaggier. The ball's going a little bit farther. These guys aren't having to wear quarter zips and kind of feel a little bit different on the golf course. Next thing you know, the winning score goes from kind of mid-teens under par to kind of mid-20s under par instead. So I think we've seen a lot of that up to this point on the schedule. As we continue to kind of chug through the summertime, some of these events are kind of back in either their original slots in the schedule or very close to when they were supposed to be played. So I'm not too sure that we're going to be seeing the crazy, crazy low scores once again through the summer, but certainly for the first 4 weeks. That said, you know, any of the Canadian guys, certainly that I've talked to, they've all kind of mentioned the laser-like focus that they've been able to have without all the distractions of the fans and the superfluous media that are being there, because usually there's a ton more cameras, and I can go on and on. So I think it's a combination. Yes, the fans are not there and they're not a distraction, but these guys, when they're in between the ropes, have this crazy focus on the task at hand. So the fans haven't been all that impactful with respect to performance. I really do think it's mostly the golf courses and the setup and where they are in terms of the seasons. But it's been cool. I mean, it's been fun to see how many birdies get made. I have no problem with that. I know a lot of people think, oh, they're ruining the game, but I'd rather see a guy make 20 birdies in a week and win than, try to grind out pars.